Well, Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, and ably for a while. He puts a pretty good run together, though. I'll give him that. We get into calls, we get into homelessness, we get into addiction, but it's all good stuff. All right, so first let me hit LifeLock online holiday shopping safety tips. Here you go. Confirm there's an HTTPS lock symbol in the URL of any website you're shopping on. Very important. Search for deals on trusted vendor retail sites, so stuff you've heard of, stuff you know. Always use unique passwords and logon information. It's important. You got to understand, cybercrime, it's affecting our lives. They're out there. They're trying to steal your identity, people. Identity theft is a very serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Now, here we go. We're coming right up on 2020. You must protect yourself. Oh, it's so convenient. You're shopping online. You're doing all your booking, all your vacations. You're doing it all online. And you can protect your identity with a LifeLock. Right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Until December 8th, join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM for 30% off or more.
The holidays are around the corner. It's time to drink too much, eat too much, and fight about Trump at the dinner table. Luckily, we've got just what you need to make the most of this most wonderful time of the year. Introducing the Corolla Christmas Stocking. The custom embroidered stocking is adorned with the hand-knit word, acehole, sewed on by talented elves and or children from the Orient. What's inside? Glad you asked. With your purchase of the Corolla Christmas Stocking, you'll get an ACS Nativity Scene t-shirt featuring Max Apata as baby Jesus and Adam as Mother Mary, a custom Happy Birthday Jesus ornament, 4 Corolla Drinks wine glasses, plus 2 bottles of your choice, all for only $99. And for those who want to go big for the holiday season, you can also purchase the Stocking Scrapbook Combo for only $175. Get the stocking and the 10 years of ACS scrapbook, signed by the entire network for the ultimate Corolla fan in your life. So get to CorollaDrinks.com today and get ready. The holidays are coming. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get a choice. We got a mandate. Get it on. Dr. Drew's a what? Dr. Bruce in the hizzy.
Where's Dr. Drew?
A.K.A. Dr. Spaz up in the house. Dr. Bruce is board certified. He's an addiction medicine specialist. He's an ER doctor as well.
I had to take ER boards again in September every 10 years.
Really?
I was like, oh my God. So much new stuff.
How much
I passed. I wouldn't bring it
do.
Up if I didn't pass, of course.
Oh, really? He did. What was different? What kind of questions are they asking now?
I mean, they've got a lot of ultrasound. Ultrasound is such a valuable tool, and it was relegated to radiologists. Now, I mean, some of the guys I see, they've bought for $1,500, $2,000 an attachment to their phone, which does ultrasound. So
really?
There's a rapid ultrasound when somebody comes in that's a trauma patient. If you see just a myriad of things that you would previously have to either not do, or say if somebody comes in, they're unstable, it's a trauma patient, and you can you look for blood, free air, collapsed lung, blood around the heart, all kinds of stuff like that.
But you would look for that 10 years ago,
But not – like right then.
What is an ultrasound attachment for the phone? It's like a credit card reader or something?
It's just a small thing that attaches to the, yeah.
This is where.
There's a variety of them. This is where we get your Bruce questions are too specific.
This is where Bruce gets confused.
But eventually it's going to be your iPhone or whatever phone you have.
And how would one use it? Like what would you use the ultrasound for? To try to detect what?
So in a trauma patient, for instance, mm-hmm. you'd look for blood around the liver, blood around the kidneys, blood around the heart,
and you physically wave it over that part of their body.
Right. There's certain places. There's a series of places that you look. And if you have a patient, you're looking at as simple as a foreign body in the soft tissue.
Will a cop start carrying these things, or ambulance drivers start carrying these things soon? Or are ambulance drivers already? I mean,
no,
you're scooping up someone off the side of the freeway. Do you want to
You have to have quite a bit of knowledge of anatomy.
Right.
You know, people now, ambulance guys are intubating. They're putting the tube in to breathe and other more invasive things that people wouldn't have assumed they would be doing. So what's going to happen in the future? But right now it's in the 1990s, I first did some training for ultrasound in the emergency department, but now it's part of testing. That was something new. And then there's a lot more specific questions on infectious diseases, you know, stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Drew likes to talk about all the third world diseases that we're now seeing.
So we'll have to bring that up.
Of course.
Is there a social part of it, too? Like, don't say him or
correct.
Her, you know, ask what their preferred pronoun
is. There's a section like that. Now, how politically correct? I don't know. I sort of skip studying that section because it's hopeless for me to be politically correct. But
well,
but there's protocol. There are questions on administration of emergency departments. There was a question on the board exam about, you know, what's the most common reason people left without being seen. So a lot of it's taking a more analytic look at the practice of emergency medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Time to the emergency department, you know, the whole thing with strokes and heart attacks, and you have the clot buster, so to speak.
What's a clot buster?
Well, if somebody comes in and they have a non-hemorrhagic stroke, so they have mm-hmm. they've lost neurologic function, it's not due to a bleed in the brain, it's due to a clot formation. So you can give a medication that dissolves clot, and you can also do that in a heart attack if it's a clot. That's
what percentage of people do you see in the ER that didn't or shouldn't have gone to the ER?
That's a good question.
What do you think?
First of all, it depends on we have low, mid, and high acuity area patients. So I'd say in the low acuity area, it's probably 75-80%. In the high acuity, where people are coming in with severe chest pain, headache, it's probably less than 10%. That's my estimate.
Do people treat the ER like they treat a 911, where they just like you hear them call 911, they're like, there's a squirrel and it's in my attic, you know, and it's like they don't know where else to call, so they just call 911. Like what, you know, the percentage of 911 phone calls that they receive that are actual emergencies are probably way less than 50%, right?
Right.
And wouldn't it behoove us, like, whenever we talk about healthcare and overhauling healthcare and the expense of healthcare, people sort of using the ER like old people use 911. Like there's some kids and they're making a lot of noise. Like I feel like, shouldn't we have kiosks or centers or places, and maybe they're opening some of these urgent care places, or I don't know what they are places, but anything but go to the hospital and go to the ER because your son has a headache.
Well, lest I misrepresent it, there's something called EMTALA, which is an emergency medicine a law that was passed. So say I show up to the desk at the emergency department and I have a kid that's got a runny nose and there's a clinic down the street, or it's a violation of law to tell them, oh, you know, you can just go down the street to the clinic.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what I'm saying is everyone keeps talking about, well, tell me what you think of this statement. Everyone's always talking about like pharma and insurance companies and all that kind of stuff. My feeling is can we make this thing cheaper and faster? And why do we need people with 30 years experience like you treating the kid with the runny nose? Why can't we have a separate area? What I would explain is, you like cars, there's a Jiffy Lube. You can go to the Jiffy Lube and just get a lube job and your fluids change and your oil done, whatever, fine. They're not master mechanics. You
right.
don't need them at the Jiffy Lube. This isn't that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Would it seem to me that if we did more of that in medicine, if we're more efficient about it, it seems like in concert with whatever's going on with the pharmacies and big pharma and whatever's going on with the insurance companies and the lawyers as well, it seemed like we could smooth out the whole operation, pardon the pun.
Well, a lot of that's been done. In our ER, every ER, there's usually a first track or fast track.
You, by law, can't send the person with the runny nose down the street to the clinic.
No, not even across campus.
Why not smooth that part out?
Well, that because those laws have been enacted, then you'd be going the opposite direction. Those laws didn't exist 30 years ago. When I started doing this, people would, again, it's there's abuse by whoever has authority to do something, and they get reined in by bureaucrats. But here's a, here's an example. The people are deciding whether or not they think they have an emergency. Now, if somebody shows up and at the triage desk and they say, oh, I've got a sore throat, well, you have to really evaluate him. A physician does have to talk to him, because what if the sore throat's epiglottitis or something that's going to close off the airway? I had a guy that they sent to the low acuity area, low back pain. He ended up – he was dead 12 hours later. He had a – you know, his – and he was 29 years old. He had his aorta just split open, a dissection, and he passed away. So the idea is if those people had been, based on their presenting complaint, referred to the you know – so it has to do with the public being educated, and this is where – you know, a lot of people that get free health care, it's like, you know, hey, I'll just go to the ER.
Right. Is being a physician attractive as a job to young people these days? I mean, when I grew up, a guy was a doctor. He was a big shot on the golf course. You know, if I was watching a sitcom and so-and-so was a doctor, it's like a guy pulled up in a Cadillac. And also he garnered the respect of like everyone in the community. Seems like things have changed. And I just hear little stories about not attracting people. You know, kids don't want to go into medicine anymore. College kids they're having difficulty attracting people to the profession because of all the paperwork and all the whatever that's going on. Is that a true statement?
I think that. And you've spent some time looking at college campuses. There's a lot of idealism, and the reality of practicing medicine is every keystroke is recorded, the electronic medical record, the cost of medical school education. There's talk about paying back college loans, but medical school loans are another couple hundred thousand. So I think there's a big interest. I think there's more interest in primary care prevention than there was when I trained. That was just starting to take – there's alternative medicine departments in emergency medical schools. So I'd say the answer is there's a little bit more idealism and
right.
The reality of it. When you have 70 people in the waiting room and you're the ER physician and 20 of them are waiting to see you, then talking to them about – preventive measures and things like that, you know, they get rushed and it's like, wow, this is not why I went into medicine.
I could never be an ER doctor because I'd be either horrified or angry the entire
time. You actually,
that's what I would do.
Your mentality is pretty good. You probably are pretty good at sorting out.
I am, but I'd still just be angry the whole time at everyone who came in there. All right, we got a call up there. It's a homeless park problem. First, I'll tell you about Privé-Revaux, the perfect gift. Give them something they wouldn't buy themselves. Shop for the frames yourself, or you can give them a gift card and they can pick out the style they like. Founded by Jamie Foxx and Ashley Benson and Haley Steinfeld. Ultimate in style and quality, designer look and feel, and an affordable price. These are world-class sunglasses, but not the big price. You ever go into some of those shops, like $150, $200? No, they have hundreds of styles starting at just $29.95. Sunglasses and anti-blue lights and readers and polarized. It's like seeing the world in HD. Celebs wear them. Kerry Washington, Matt McConaughey, Mila Kunis wear them as well. So let's get in on it. Always free shipping on all orders. It comes with the case. They're really high quality. Shop PRFrames.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use the promo code Adam and Drew. Get that savings. Adam and Drew 15. Promo code Adam and Drew 15. All right, let's see. We got line three. Eric?
What's up, Adam? Bruce?
Hey, going on?
Hey, so if there's too many black kids getting suspended, then the solution is to just stop suspending them. So there's a park in California that has too many homeless people, and it's become violent and unsafe. So what do you think is the solution now for solving that problem?
Well, anything in California, I have figured out. I figured out that, like, the way we solve problems in California, yes, if too many black kids are being suspended, then we stop suspending black kids. Or if we're arresting too many people for theft, then we'll just raise the price of what is – that will create another category for theft. And now it's got to be over $1,000 or like $999. It's like saying – hey, Bruce, you were late. And you looked up at the clock and went, I wasn't late. And then you just went and turned the hands back. So it turned out you were early. And it's like, that really didn't fix the problem. But the clock does now say 10 minutes to 3 instead of 10 minutes after 3. So I guess the clock is working, but you're not fixing the fucking problem. Obviously, we're insane. It's basically like saying, these seniors are reading at a third grade level. Let's just change the test so at a third grade level is a senior level. Okay, technically that would work, except for it wouldn't fix the problem.
But the problem's not even being identified. That's my issue. If you look at Garcetti's list of the six main causes of homelessness, I don't think maybe they've changed it, but mental health and substance abuse problems weren't there. So if you can't even say this is the – that's the core.
He's an idiot. He's a coward.
But anywhere in California, you don't –
he's a coward.
Because it's a
– or a pussy or an
idiot. A problem they're not addressing. So if you just don't say that's the problem, you know, then, hey, the problem is high housing prices.
Cost of living.
Yeah.
So what are they calling the park now? Is it a homeless bullpen?
No, they're just going to get rid of it. They're going to build a development there. So no more park.
Right.
No more problem.
Well, there'll be a tent in front of your house next week.
Yeah. The homeless problem is a perfect metaphor for what happens when people who govern stop governing. It's exactly what happens. Whatever this thing is that you don't want because you didn't want to deal with the first 5 homeless people, well, now you got 55 because you were – it's a dereliction of duty, but you're too big a coward to govern. I'm telling you what's going on. Thanks, good Eric. Not bad, Eric Garcetti. What's going on – I'll tell you what's in the zeitgeist. Nobody wants to be perceived as mean anymore. And the problem – of when you govern, when you take a job as the sheriff or the mayor or the governor or the police captain or the school principal, you're going to have to be mean to people who are going or breaking the rules. Now, I don't look at it as mean. I look at it as enforcing the rules. This, like, you know, we've done this whole fucking turnaround on what governing is. Like, we're all, everyone's got their panties in a bunch over like stop and frisks. Like, hey, I don't know, 2,300 people got shot and now 300 people got shot. So I'd say that's pretty effective. And they'd go, but at what cost?
Right.
And I'd go, what do you mean, what cost? There's 1,900 people that aren't dead. What do you mean, what cost? And they go, you're stopping people, you're profiling people. First things first, you didn't stop the young black or Hispanic and then put them into the system. You stop them and they had a weapon on them and then they went into the system. You're eliminating the part where the person had something or was doing something. And this notion of like, well, yeah, but these are low level, you know, dime bags and all that kind of stuff. People aren't spending time in prison for carrying around a dime bag through Manhattan. But also, let's not lose track of the fact that the people who are trying to govern are attempting to govern. And they're getting paid by taxpayers who overwhelmingly aren't criminals, but who would like a park or a subway system or a downtown Manhattan that they could use, that they could walk through safely, that they could see a fucking Broadway show and make it out to their, make it out to the subway without being mugged. And at some point when they started doing that, it did create a safer environment. And this whole thing of like, yeah, but what about the people that were just walking along innocently and stopped and asked what they were doing? Okay. I don't know. What do you do at the airport? Don't you have to go through the metal detector?
Everybody gets stopped and frisked.
Are you Al-Qaeda? If you travel with your kids have to go through it. Your grandma has to go through it. Okay. We've decided we live in a society where a small group of people would like to blow up the airplane. And for that, we must now all walk through the metal detector. That's how it goes.
That's so logical, but I think a lot of people that just live in those communities didn't have as much of a problem with stop and frisk, but the activists hijack the voice of the people a lot of times. I think that's what's happening on college campuses, right?
Yeah. There's just a bunch of self-satisfied a-holes that just think it's their job to speak on everyone's behalf. And I don't know, maybe we're at our saturation level. I can't figure out what's going on. I can figure out what's going on with the kids. The kids are dumb. And it's all part of the self-esteem movement. But I can't figure out what's going on with the adults who sort of endorse it. You know what I mean? I get it. You're not going to win any popularity contest talking the way I talk on a daily basis. But where's your fucking dignity, man? Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, you hear people saying insane things on a 50-year-olds on a daily and nightly basis. And I'm assuming they're just trying to not get shouted down or win some popularity contest. But what about your soul? I can't say things that I know aren't right just because I realize that people like me more if I do it. You know?
Right.
Well, I happen to know what the truth is, and I look at it as my job to share the truth.
Yeah. Well, it's all black and white now, and you're painted as a racist. If I found that even if you bring up the issues and say, let's discuss the issues, then allegations.
Yeah. Well, usually means they're going to lose the argument, by the way. Eric, 38, Wisconsin.
Hey, what's up, Adam? It's Eric. I'm just kind of screwed up right now.
All right.
I'm just calling to tell you that I'm a big fan, and Dr. Bruce, I'm a big fan of yours, too. I've heard you on Loveline quite a few times.
Thanks, Eric.
You heard me being abused.
Please.
I have PTSD from those experiences.
Would you like to quit alcohol? Is that why you're calling?
Yes, I would. I'm drinking a lot, and I don't know exactly how to quit. I know that you're going to probably say AA, and I know all about that because my father was a severe alcoholic, and he went to AA every single day. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, and I didn't really want to go along with them, I was kind of rebellious with it.
Well, Eric, let's break it down here. Are you employed?
No, I'm not.
If you were employed, what would you be doing?
Well, my last job was stocking at a grocery store overnight.
How is it that you make money now, or how do you survive?
I have SSI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have access to a doctor, right?
Yes.
So forget about AA, forget about 12-step. The first problem you're going to have is just quitting, and there are medications that can ease you into a state of not depending on the alcohol every day. And today there are medications for craving, too, that are pretty effective. And what I tell people, you don't have to go to AA, you don't have to do 12-step, but you need something that's a daily affirmation and a daily accountability program. And those are out there that are not 12-step based or AA based. But the first thing is if you've got Social Security, SSI, you have access to a physician. And physicians today are really well trained in getting you detoxed comfortably, and that's a big part of it. It said I was reading your statement, when you start to think about stopping, you start to sweat. Well, that's a type of withdrawal. So how's that sound?
Yeah.
You can even go, I mean, you know, I have people I see in the ER and they don't know where to go, and they come in and they go, I just want to quit. And I'll start them on medication. I'll refer them to a counselor. And if they don't want to do AA, there are other options I go over with them. So it's just accessing that care. I know going to the ER is probably not a great advice, but if you have SSI, then you can go to a doctor, go to an internist or a family practice doc to start.
Yeah, I got a family doctor. I talk to him once in a while. He knows that I drink. And
what's your disability?
I have like severe anxiety and depression, and it runs in my family. My mom is bipolar.
Eric, everyone's. I get it. Listen, a couple things. I wouldn't constantly talk about how you're sort of destined for this horrible destination because your parents are bipolar and they're alcoholics and they're. I hear it a lot. I used to hear it a lot in Loveline. Like people go, my dad was this and my mom was that, and thus my dad's a fucking loser, my mom's a fucking loser, but I'm not. So first things first, you don't have to go down their trajectory. You don't have to, just because there's this and that doesn't mean that's your fate.
Right.
So I would stop making that my mantra. You know what I'm saying, Eric?
You're
your own individual. You need to get sober, and then once you get sober, you can go do whatever you want, regardless of who your parents were.
Right, and it's one step at a time. Having parents with history of mental health problems, especially bipolar disorder and addictions, makes it much easier to get addicted. But once you are, it's a matter of that help is still there, and the chances of getting sober and staying sober. A lot of it's just having that attitude, I can do it, and going with the advice of your doctor or your therapist.
So. I had a few days ago, Tito Ortiz, UFC legend Tito Ortiz, was like sitting where you're sitting, and he's talking about what a pile of crap his dad was and his mom was, and they're addicted and they're everything and they're a mess, and he just was going to fight his way out of it. You know, like there's plenty of examples. It's pretty doable.
It is doable.
You don't have to go down that road just because that's the road your parents traveled. And I don't like it when it becomes your mantra, because I feel like you're explaining this is what shall be. My dad's bipolar, he's an alcoholic. My mom is bipolar. It's thus I will live that life.
Right. It's great to educate and emphasize that before people start. Definitely, if you've got those kind of histories, your chances of becoming
it's good
addicted.
To be aware of it, but I'm saying there, stop making it your rally call. All right. Let me tell you about BetDSI. Oh, man. Heading to the back half of the football season. Playoff push, college bowl games are all coming up. Add a little excitement at BetDSI.com, your betting partner. Use BetDSI's live betting platforms. Bet games until the final whistle. New members get a 100% bonus match with promo code ADAM101. That's double your money. Paying winners for over 20 years, top rated on review sites, user-friendly interface and mobile site, fastest payouts in the industry, NFL, NBA, NHL, boxing, politics, reality TV, esports, everything you need at BetDSI. Again, BetDSI.com. Use the promo code ADAM101 for a limited time 100% bonus offer. It's only a game until you bet it. On BetDSI. Let's see, someone's got a Trump question up here on line 5. Kevin, 33.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Dr. Bruce.
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, I have a quick question. Also, I don't know how many episodes you guys have recorded yet today, but Bruce, you're still not kicked out, so I'm impressed.
I'm not. He can't afford to today.
There's nobody in the bullpen.
So, you know, you were talking about how, you know, we pick on Trump as a society based on whatever's going on, Russia, racism, misogyny, whatever it is. And I saw this tweet go out, and it was that Sarah Sanders was defending Trump, and she said, he reads more than anybody I know. Mm-hmm. And then a comedian replied to it and said, did you mean to say rapes?
Uh-huh.
And then a former news girl happened to like that tweet, which is how I saw it. But, the thing is what if he's not a misogynist? What if he's not a racist? What if he's just a blunt, direct, or rude person? Or why don't we just let some people be bad people? Why do we have to know how it is that we don't like him? You know, he's brash. We know that he's brash.
Well, I'll give you an example, and I agree. It's weird because he pushes buttons in people and they have a visceral reaction. to him, but it all kind of depends on your wiring. Like Bill Maher is a super prickly guy and he's a narcissist and Trump just pushes his buttons and he goes nuts. You can't push my buttons. I don't have that wiring. Dr. Drew is different than Bill Maher and he doesn't have his buttons pushed. Now you can go, I disagree with this tweet or I disagree with this policy, but he's not agitated by it. And here's an interesting example that never gets brought up. Everyone brings up the Billy Bush bus tape, right? And everybody says, I don't know, can you find that tape, Gary? Everyone says he's talking about sexually assaulting women. Now, what he's doing is he's blowing hard to Billy Bush, right? And he's saying, I am so famous, I could do this. He's basically saying,
I could do no wrong.
I was such a popular mayor of this town, I could shoot my wife in the town square and never be convicted of murder. And then we said, you shot your wife? That's basically right, how it worked. Yeah. And if you don't believe me, and I think people are being a little disingenuous because he's bragging that he's so popular he can do this, and the news agencies who've now done reporting news have turned that into he's bragging about doing it as he's done it in the past. Now, I'm guessing if he had a rich history of grabbing women by the pussy, there'd be a number of them coming ahead for it. I think he likes banging chicks that aren't his wife, but that's not the same thing. In that tape, he says to Billy Bush, he's so popular, he could grab a woman by... Right.
Right, right.
He also, the part they never talk about is when she goes, we're going to meet up with Janine Collins or whatever, whoever the female. And he goes, oh, do you got a mint? She's so pretty. I think I'm going to kiss her. I don't think I could help myself. I think I won't be able to help myself from kissing her. I just might do it. She's so attractive. And then they get off the bus, and then he shakes her hand, right? And goes, how do you do?
Sort of instructive as to...
So he didn't really...
Bluster versus reality.
He didn't kiss her.
Yeah.
He was saying he was going to kiss her.
Right.
Then he got off the bus, and he shook her hand. So that's kind of him. Now, there are other things to dislike about him, but let's not conflate those. He's blustery and blowhardy, but... He shook her hand. He didn't force.
Well, you spent 3 weeks with the guy.
I spent time with
him. And I just remember, I think I asked you, and you were talking about, well, it seemed like there was a respectful relationship with the kids, and it wasn't a total, it was very organized, and it wasn't.
I said, the guy's blowhardy.
Right.
I didn't care for that aspect of him. But then I paused and I said, he has 3 kids. He has a good relationship with them, and they respect him. And when a man tells me he hasn't spoken to his adult son in 26 years, I think there's something wrong with that dude. And when a guy has 3 kids and they respect him, I think that guy did something right. Do you have the tape, Gary? Well, maybe we'll play it on Wednesday's show. I'll let you figure that one out.
So is this a semantic problem? Is this just she's making a joke? You meant to say rapes because she said reads. Okay, so we're going for 4-letter words that start with R.
Right.
Or could she have made a funny joke that's, reads more Playboys or, eats more hamburgers because he's overweight? Or, pick on something that's real. I'm the one that called you earlier a couple months back about Piers Morgan making fun of AOC for being a bartender. And I said, don't make fun of her for having a job. Make fun of her for serving alcohol or poisoning people or...
No, I agree. We kind of missed the thing. It's like the Miles Garrett thing. It's like he may have used a racial slur, and it's like he may have used a racial slur. He may have. I don't know. But you're still not allowed to assault people with a weapon. Like,
are you sure?
We're kind of missing. I know. Well, now we're at that point. But I mean, I love the idea that we're all drilling down on what did he say? What did he say? Like, I don't care
was
what
that ever
he said.
Out?
You're not. It was never sorted out. The consensus is he didn't say anything. But if and he did,
still,
you're still not allowed to swing a helmet at a man's head.
Direct hit, skull
but
fracture.
This is perfect because it's the opposite.
Right.
What did he say? What did he say? Trump said grab him by the pussy, but did he? Did he come out of the bus and kiss her? No.
Well, it's the part that never gets brought up, but if you play it, you'll hear it. Thank you, Kevin. We'll do that on Wednesday show. First, let me hit LifeLock online holiday shopping. I got some safety tips for you all. Confirm there's a HTTPS lock symbol in the URL of any website you're shopping on. You want to look for that, because if you don't see that, who knows? There could be some Russian, Ukrainian hackers. What about them? China? Search for deals on trusted vendor retailer sites, and always use unique passwords to log in on information. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Take some time. Get yourself signed up for LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, and your social security number could be for sale on the dark web. You wouldn't know it. LifeLock would. Right, Dawson? Oh, right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own until December 8th. Join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 30% off or more.
All right. No Safe Spaces out as we speak. Go to NoSafeSpaces.com and find the theater near you. It's an important film, right, Bruce?
Yes, it is. It was great.
Thanks for coming to the premiere. You can go to adamcarolla.com. December 7th, coming up Reno, Virginia Street, Brewhouse. What is that, this Saturday?
Correct.
This Saturday, the 7th. And then the following Saturday, 13th and 14th, Oxnard Levity Live. Go to adamcarolla.com for everything you want. Chassis, two S's and a Y. You got the 24-hour war over there. You got Shelby American over there. Get the Blu-rays. Get all the extras. Bruce, you got a plug?
Yeah, I'm working with a Suboxone medication-assisted treatment program for addicts in Riverside, and we do take like certain forms of Medi-Cal. It's area code 951-275-8500. 951-275-8500. You may not see me as a clinician, but I'm working with them. We're trying to get as many people to get help as we can.
Good for doing the Lord's work. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Bruce Saint. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.